Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The lineup for Jazz Fest 2020 has been announced. These guys are going to be there. Kool and the Gang. Jimmy Cliff, the reggae artist, is going to be there. Ellis Marsalis. Ronnie Lamarck from Lamarck Ford will be on stage performing at Jazz Fest 2020. Ronnie Lamarck will be there Thursday, April the 30th. The Lumineers, Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue, they'll close it out. John Prine, Maze featuring Frankie Beverly, The Radiators. There'll be a tribute to Dr. John with special guests Irma Thomas, John Cleary, Ivan Neville, and Deacon John, many others. John Papagrow will be there as well. And that's also the including the Dr. John All-Star Alumni Band. Rockin' Doopsie, Kermit Ruffins, Aaron Neville, Lionel Richie, Southside Johnny and the Ashbury Jukes. I mean, the list goes on. Bonorama. Anyway, you can check out the full list. It's on our website at WWL.com. And we will continue to feature music from some of the performers at Jazz Fest. Foo Fighters, another one of the big acts performing this year. We've got the full lineup on our website, and we'll continue to play some of the music from those who are performing. Look, if you're just tuning in this afternoon, we've got a lot going on. We have talked about the impeachment trial of President Trump, which is officially underway right now, and all the hypocrisy involved in all of that. We also talked about this new show that's going to come on. The news station, well, it's a television station with a lot of news. WGN-TV in Chicago. They're on just about everybody's cable, and they've been a popular cable TV station for a long time, showing a lot of reruns like Married with Children and shows like that. But they have now started building a set, and they're ready to go on the air with a three-hour news show called News Nation. What's different about this news show is that this is going to be a three-hour cable news show, and they're promising to deliver the news without opinions and without bias. Are you going to watch? And would that actually stop you from watching the cable news channel that you watch now that is driven by bias and opinions? I would think that people are going to watch it. I think there's room for this in the market. But I don't think it's going to stop people from watching the Fox News or the channels that they watch, MSNBC or CNN. There's something about all of that. It's the conflict that we find entertaining as human beings. And so as much as people say, I just want the news, I mean, do you really? I mean, look, it would be nice if we really did find a way to get the truth and then also have fun with opinions and bias. But the problem is, even though we've got this channel, don't you think a lot of people are going to still be tuning in to radio talk shows? They're going to still be tuning in to the cable news networks that are driven by content that's opinionated and biased. They're going to be tuning into all of that to support their view of the unbiased news. So they're going to find their ways to be biased. And the interesting thing is, even if you got totally unbiased, objective news, that's not going to stop you from being biased. Also, we've been talking about Odell Beckham Jr. Complicated situation in that. Okay, so the guys are smoking cigars in the locker room, the LSU Tigers, after the game. And there's a dome security guard saying, I'll arrest you guys. And this was the report that's out. They were threatened with arrest. And Odell Beckham Jr. standing behind one of the security guards, and he swats him on the behind. And it's a pretty good swat. I mean, he doesn't knock the guy over, but it's a pretty good swat. And so while I think it's okay, hey, let the cigar smoking go. I don't think that was a big deal. But I think there should be a rule that you don't touch law enforcement officers. And Odell Beckham Jr. is also being investigated by LSU for apparently handing out real cash to the LSU players right after the win over Clemson Monday night, which is not supposed to happen. If you do want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. From Raceland, Kay, welcome to our show. Thanks for hanging on.
Thank you, Scoot. I have to disagree with you completely.
Okay, it's all right.
I watched the video. Everybody in there was all hyped up. And football players sat each other on the butt. Coaches sat the players on the butt. And what this guy did was nothing but a pat on the butt.
Well, see, I don't interpret it as a – look, I know this is not a serious thing, but it was more of a swat than a pat on the butt. It was more of a swat than a gesture.
It's a money thing.
Well,
that's why this guy is suing.
I know, Kay. I'm not ruling that possibility out. I mean, I think that's a really legitimate thing to bring up here. And somebody pointed out earlier that if this security guard was so threatened by that, why didn't he arrest Odell Beckham right then and there? Did he go home and think about it? Did a lawyer call him and say, I think we can get some money out of Odell Beckham Jr.? I don't know what happened, but I think these things are all possible.
Exactly. I really don't think it's a big deal.
But you would still agree, though, that there should be a rule about not touching law enforcement.
Is there a rule?
Yeah, there is a rule. I don't think you're supposed to. You're not. Well, it would be considered a form of assault.
Well,
now, it's again, the charges, the arrest warrant calls for a charge of simple battery.
Yeah. Well,
just putting a damper on the whole thing.
They're just putting LSU's victory of a national championship in the mud.
All right, well, who's they?
The news media.
But the news media didn't do this.
Well, they didn't do it, but they keep reporting it over and over and over. I mean, I got a text on my phone about it.
It's because people want to talk about it. I don't create that incentive in people. And we're here to say it's either ridiculous or it's not ridiculous, but people often criticize the media for talking about things that people actually want to talk about. And I can tell you by the lines that light up, there are things that we're criticized for talking about, but there's absolute concrete evidence that people want to talk about these things.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
I just think it was a money thing, and I think it's ridiculous.
It may be. I'm glad you had a chance to call, Kay. If you want to join us, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. So we've been playing a lot of music from those performers at Jazz Fest 2020. Here's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo Poll question. Rate this year's Jazz Fest lineup, A, B, C, or D? I didn't even want to give the social media trolls F as a possibility, because some will just put F just to put F. So how do you rate this year's Jazz Fest lineup? In fact, I even though judging art is subjective, I don't see how you can look at the lineup and say it's an F. So we're only giving you A, B, C, or D as an option. And you can give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. If you want to join us, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. The Who, performing Saturday, April the 25th. And here's a song by The Who that, even from my early days of being a DJ, I thought this was of questionable content. Something about Mama's Got a Squeeze Box. Okay, I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Yeah, this is one of my favorite Cowboy Mouth songs. I mean, you know, they do Jenny Says and other songs, but this song, Disconnected by Cowboy Mouth, I thought was just always a great hit. Fred LeBlanc joins us from Cowboy Mouth. Fred, welcome to the show.
How you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, you're at Jazz Fest again. I guess it never gets old.
Never, ever, ever. From the first day, it was exciting. I still remember our first Jazz Fest. We played one of the smaller stages. We only did that for like 1 year, and they had us, my father videotaped the show, and I still have it somewhere. And I jumped off the stage and rolled around in the mud because it had just rained. And then I realized, hey, this is a horse racing track, and this mud smells pretty bad. Nobody would come near me for like 2 hours, but it was a lot of fun, and we've always managed to have a lot of fun there. We played with some great acts. We played right before Aerosmith. We played right before Dave Matthews. We played right before, I can't even remember.
I know. I've been with you so many times at Jazz Fest that I mean, I know how much fun you guys have just getting ready. And I know I'm not talking about anything illegal or inappropriate, but you'll be performing on Saturday, May the 2nd, the last Saturday of Jazz Fest. And Lizzo will be there. The Isley Brothers, PJ Morton, and Dead & Company will be there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So do you plan anything special for each Jazz Fest? Anything special that you'll think about for this year?
It all depends on, like, the length of the set. You know, sometimes, you know, we have long sets. Sometimes we have short sets. And a lot of times we just try to make it – I never assume that the audience has seen us before, you know, whether it's Jazz Fest or even, like, a club show or something like that. I always assume that people are usually seeing us for the first time, so I try to make as much – maximum impact as I can, and you know, song selection, you want to play people songs they know and songs they love and songs they want to hear, but you also want to throw in some new stuff too to keep it interesting whenever you can.
Well, there's no question that you get the crowd going, and it's a massive crowd. It's not easy to get them going, but when Calvary Mouth hits the stage, you guys are on it.
Well, thank you, I appreciate it. I've always tried to play the show remembering what the audience wants, not just trying to satisfy my own ego or whatever. A lot of it's just, you know, the crowd comes ready because they're already ready to have a great time. Because Jazz Fest is probably the preliminary festival event in the city, you know, and you know, people come from all around the world to be here just for those days. You know?
Yeah, one of the big events like this in the whole country.
Oh yeah, it's wonderful to be part of it. I mean, this is our 30th anniversary.
Wow.
This will be our 30th Jazz Fest. Yeah, I know, can you believe that?
Wow.
I didn't even think this thing would last a month. we're putting out a new EP that should be coming out March right before Jazz Fest. We're working on some new stuff for another EP towards the end of the year. Yeah. Just trying to, you know, keeping it going.
All right, well, Fred, let me know when you get that finished, and I'll share a couple of the songs on the show.
I appreciate it. But yeah, Jazz Fest is always an honor. It's, you know what? It's always fun because you always see old friends, you make new friends, you know, you play great music, you see great music, you hear great music, you know, and it's just fun. I mean, there's, you know, some people, you know, say this about it or that about it. There's always going to be Nelly naysayers. At the end of the day, it's just a friggin' blast. It's just a blast.
It is. I'll look forward to seeing you again this year, Fred LeBlanc, Cowboy Mouth, Saturday, May 2nd at Jazz Fest. Fred, thanks for being with us.
I look forward to being me again this year there at Jazz Fest.
All right. Thanks, Fred.
Take care, Scoot.
We'll talk about some of the other groups that are performing. I mentioned that with Cowboy Mouth on Saturday, May 2nd, Dead & Company, Lizzo. I mean, what a year Lizzo had. I mean, nominations for awards. I mean, if I say she's huge, would you get exactly what I'm saying? Also, the Isley Brothers are performing. They're fun. PJ Morton, Galactic. Cyril Neville. Also on Saturday, May 2nd, there will be a tribute to Art Neville featuring Aaron Neville and the Meters and the Neville Brothers Band. And again, check out the list. In fact, give us your opinion. That's our WWL Blue Runner Gumball poll question. Rate this year's Jazz Fest, A, B, C, or D. 40% say A, 33% C, 13% say B, and 13% say D. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. I'm looking at a picture on our website of, we've got a story about DNA evidence links two men to, or links a man to two rapes in Algiers. And I want you to go to our website and take a look at this guy's picture. Tilted head. It's like he's saying, you ain't got nothing on me. And I guess they thought they'd never get caught. It's really pathetic when you see this. It's pathetic when you see that attitude, that, you know, cockback head. You know those two police officers who were arrested for beating up that Hispanic guy at a bar in Mid-City. One of those guys had that cocky, cocked head back. You got nothing on me. Well, guess what, dude? They had something on you. So just, you know, you can be real cocky, but they got you. Anyway, I think about that every time I see one of these pictures. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We're going to give you a special CBS News update. The impeachment trial of President Trump officially began today in the Senate. We want to bring you up to date on that, regardless of how you feel about what's going on. You should know what's going on. So we will continue to update you on that. And there are times when we will talk about it on our show. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back on WWL. I'm Scoot, Thursday afternoon, and the announcement has been made. The lineup for Jazz Fest 2020 is out, and this is Dumpster Funk, and Ivan Neville joins us on WWL. Ivan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for taking just a minute. I just wanted to say, man, hey, and I'm sure you're looking forward to it, Dumpster Funk, the day that Lenny Kravitz plays, Friday, April the 24th. You'll be on stage, and it should be a great day.
Yeah, that's the greatest party in the world.
And you also have to be really proud that that on Saturday, May 2nd, Cyril Neville performs, and I know you've heard of him, and it's going to be a tribute a tribute to Art Neville featuring Aaron Neville and the Meters and the Neville Brothers Band. Will you be part of that?
I will be part of that as well, yes.
Good.
Yes, indeed.
Good.
Yeah.
You've done Jazz Fest before. Is there anything special that you might do this year, anything that makes it special for you this year?
You know what? It's special every year, man. You know, it's I think it's probably the greatest party, the greatest combination of food, music, and people anywhere in the world in one given place at one particular time. It's the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Fest.
You know,
nothing like it.
I agree. I love talking to you about this because you're such a part of like the first family of funk in New Orleans, and with Dumpster Funk and the music that you do. Come on, how can we find a way to describe New Orleans funk?
New Orleans music, it's like a gumbo. It's just like the signature dish, gumbo. A little bit of everything. It's a little mixture of everything.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, you mix the ingredients with love, you know, and then see what comes out.
And people love to dance. Ivan, listen, we'll look forward to seeing you at Jazz Fest.
I look forward to being there during that time of the year, my favorite time of the year.
Ivan Neville, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Scoot.
Okay.
Have a good day.
All right, quick conversation with Ivan Neville, who will be at Jazz Fest this year. This conversation didn't go very far, but I thought it was interesting that the Navy announced information from UFO briefings that the Navy says would cause, quote, exceptionally grave danger to U.S. security if the information were released. And I've always believed that the government does have conclusive evidence that we have been visited, but that releasing that to the public would create a sense of panic. And I mean, I don't mean real panic in the streets, but I think it would be very unsettling. I don't know specifically what it would do to U.S. security, but I think that information is withheld for a reason. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, what channel is going to be unbiased news? It's WGN-TV. That's WGN out of Chicago, and I forget what channel it is on Cox, or I don't know what channel it is on your cable channel, but you can find it. But it's WGN. We'll let you know when it starts. They're building the set now, and they're set to go on the air with it soon. The show is going to be called News Nation, and it's going to be 3 hours of news that is unbiased and without opinions. And are you going to watch? Interesting. Here's a text that says, what is unbiased news? Well, there really is no unbiased news, because the way a story is told reflects human bias. You and I could take the same facts, and we would tell those facts differently. We would present them differently. Body language, when it comes to something that's visual, phrasing, again, the words used, these are all the results of subconscious human bias. Now, you can try to be totally objective, but it's almost impossible for human beings to be totally objective. So there really is no news that is totally unbiased. I guess the point is that compared to Fox MSNBC and CNN, it's not going to be driven by opinions, but it will be biased. The picture, if it's a story about President Trump, the picture that is selected can also show a bias. Here's a text that says, what happened to the child pornography and Pete Townsend? I don't remember specifically. This was a long time ago. And I remember that, and I know, look, I know this is going to sound ridiculous to many of you, but it was my recollection that it was determined that Pete Townsend was actually doing research. And it's not like that was just an excuse. He was really doing research on child pornography. And I think he may have been trying to get involved in fighting child pornography. So it would be like me, for example, if I were doing a show on child pornography and I go to my computer, I look up child pornography to do research, and then I get busted for child pornography. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's what happened to Pete Townsend. From Norco, the mayor, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoop.
How are you?
I'm Carl, a longtime listener.
I appreciate it. Are you the mayor of Norco?
Well, self-proclaimed mayor of Norco.
Okay, well, that's all right. It's okay. I mean, who's going to challenge you, right?
Nobody. Believe me, nobody. I was listening to you guys, and I wasn't going to call, but when that person called in about comparing what Odell Beckham did to Rosa Parks, I said, you know, I got to call. I am an LSU graduate. I'm a season ticket holder since 1958, and I do know this isn't the first time Odell Beckham has been an issue for LSU, that if you're familiar with the song Neck that the band plays, on numerous occasions he's approached the band director and kind of demanded and got a little belligerent about it, about them playing Neck at the game. And I can only say the band director handled himself with decorum and dignity, and he was verbally berated by Odell Beckham, and didn't, because he couldn't play Neck. I'm sure his supervisors are telling him, you better not play it.
Maybe the big mistake was LSU allowing him to be on the sidelines.
Well, he wasn't on the sidelines. He was in the stands and just happened to be near the band. But I do agree with you, and that's the point I'm calling about. You know, there are a lot of good people out there that graduated from LSU, Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears, who will give LSU a good name, and their personalities, media personalities. And I really believe, Coach Orgeron, this should be simple. You just don't allow Odell Beckham to come around the team anymore. Don't allow him access to some of the privileges that the other players that handle themselves with class are allowed. I think it's simple.
Yeah, and, you know, I understand that based on what happened, he maybe should be barred from LSU events because he can't be trusted. But I don't think in any way, while we're talking about this a lot, the conversation is about Odell Beckham Jr. It's not about LSU's victory. And I know that some people are so quick to, Mayor, I'm glad you called. Some people are so quick to just, again, people are looking for reasons to bash the media. And believe me, you don't have to look for reasons to bash the media. There are a lot of legitimate reasons to bash the media. But sometimes people are just too quick to say, well, it's the media's fault or the media's taking away from LSU's victory. How is that happening? If this conversation about Odell Beckham Jr. and the annex that have led to an arrest warrant of simple battery for swatting a security guard at the dome on the behind, if that's distracting from LSU's victory, that's your fault. That's not the fault of the media. We're just talking about something that involves human behavior, which is something that we do as human beings. You know, there was a time long before talk radio when people used to gather at the town square, and they would talk about all this kind of stuff. For Metairie, Bill, you're on WWL.
Yeah, how you doing? I just wanted to say a little bit. First of all, you know, the swatting on this guy's butt, that's something baseball players do, football players do. And granted, maybe the guy didn't ask for it, and it was a male security guard, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, I mean, I think he's making a big deal out of nothing. And as far as cigar smoking in the Superdome, I mean, if they went in 1970, 71, 72, when they opened up and we could smoke anywhere you wanted, you'd see the cloud of smoke in it. So I don't think one or two cigars in a dressing room is something to be worried about. And the other thing, what you said about a squeeze box is an accordion. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Oh, is that right? Well, you know what? I was naive to that, and
that's what you were thinking, right?
Come on, man. I was like a young DJ when this song came out, and I'm playing, you know, Mama's Got a Squeeze Box, and Daddy Doesn't Sleep at Night. So I didn't think of recording.
Yeah, they play the accordion all night, man.
Okay.
You know,
I get
it. You heard it squeaking, didn't you?
I get it now.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right, Bill, man, I appreciate the call. And from Metairie, Randy, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scooter, enjoy the show, buddy.
Thank you.
You were talking with Fred at Cowboy Mouth a few minutes ago, and I enjoyed their band. Something that's probably a lot of people don't know. They have a little camp, summer tribe, across the lake for kids with cerebral palsy. And for years, Fred would bring his entire band over there to play for the kids.
You know, Fred has a huge heart. He really does. And the band has done a lot to give back to the community. So I'm glad you reminded us of that.
Yeah, have a good day.
All right, Randy, I appreciate the call. Here's an update on our new WWL gumbo poll, Blue Runner gumbo poll. Do you think Odell Beckham Jr. should be arrested for slapping a security guard on the butt? 71% say no. 29% say yes. Give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. Here's a text. Scoot, remember when that jogger got arrested for swatting the TV reporter on the butt? Yeah, I do. I vaguely remember that story. Here's a text. If the security guard was a female, would it be different? Yeah, it probably would be different. Oh, here's a text. I was kind of vague on the story with Pete Townsend and child pornography, because there was an issue there with the law. And this text says, kind of reminds me of what happened. Pete Townsend believed that he was the victim of sex abuse as a child, and he was researching websites to try to deal with it. And in looking into the websites, he was accused of being into child porn. And when you're in this business, or when you are a victim of something and you research something that's really bad and taboo, sometimes it's just research. From Hammond, Jeannie, you're on WWL. Hello, Jeannie. Hello, Jeannie. All right. We'll get with Jeannie here in just a second. Look, you know, people are on hold, and so they get distracted, and they go about their lives while they wait for me to finally get to their call. And so it's totally understandable. Okay, we got her back. Hey, Jeannie, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you. I just wanted to say we teach 2- and 3-year-olds to keep their hands to themselves. Maybe this guy needs to go back to pre-K or kindergarten or Head Start or something.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple rule. And if you see the video, I mean, again, people are going to judge this based on their feelings and how they see it. I see it as a SWAT, and I don't think you SWAT law enforcement. I mean, you can say it's a SWAT. It wasn't a pat. So he hit the police officer on the butt, and security guard, police officer, whatever. Still, it's a law enforcement, and I just think that there should be enough respect to where that doesn't happen.
I agree. Thank you.
All right, Jeannie, I'm glad you called. Here's a text that says, the cigar smoking, I've worked in professional sports about 10 years or so, baseball to be exact. I completely agree that all laws need to be followed. However, the backside, the cigar smoking, here it is. Some of these jump around, so you have to forgive me. However, the backside slaps are a lot more than common among teams, especially when it involves a celebration. I understand the officer was probably unhappy due to trying to get the cigar smoking to stop. Just my thoughts. Well, here's the way I saw it from what I saw in the video. It wasn't a celebratory slap. It was a disciplinary slap on the butt. It appears as if, and this is the story we're getting, that the security guard was threatening to arrest some of the LSU players for smoking cigars. And Odell Beckham took it upon himself to swat the law enforcement officer, the security guard, on the butt. So that's not like, hey, man, great, we won. Let's just, I mean, if Odell Beckham had gone around slapping everybody on the butt and then the police officer happened to be there, I think it would be a completely different story. Again, you know, this is not the end of the world. I don't think this is the worst thing that can happen. You know, it could be somebody looking for money. I don't know. We'll see how this plays out, and we'll be here to talk about it. But it just, you know, while it's not a big deal, I still think it's okay to have laws that we follow. You know, even if sometimes people get out of control. Thursday, April the 23rd, the Beach Boys will be one of the big acts at Jazz Fest. And also Sunday, April 26th, Foo Fighters. Wow. That's going to be a must, if I can possibly make that. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back. This is WWL. Well, earlier in the show, we had a whole list of names of players leaving LSU. And yesterday we talked about Joe Brady leaving LSU. Now, LSU's defensive guru, Dave Aranda, is leaving LSU to become the head coach at Baylor. And that was a position opened up when Matt Rhule went to the Carolina Panthers to become head coach of the Panthers. I think Dave Aranda was making about, I think I read he was making about $800,000 a year in Baton Rouge. You know, you can rent a hell of an apartment for that kind of money. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe $3 million is what they offered him. I mean, there's big money in coaching, which is why Joe Brady is probably looking forward to the day when he is a head coach. And, you know, we had a lot of interesting conversation about that on the show yesterday, in particular about the idea that since the Carolina Panthers didn't have a great season, they picked number 7 in the draft. So it might be possible for them to trade up to get the number 1 pick, which would reunite Joe Brady and Joe Burrow. But does Joe Burrow want to maybe play for the Cincinnati Bengals, who have the first pick, since he's from Ohio? I guess what's fun about this is it's unknown. It's exciting. It's kind of a human drama unfolding. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. And so that's kind of fun. All right, let's see. Sports Talk is coming up next here. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Jordan Fiegel, today, and our studio producer, Ian Hoke. And as always, thank you for being a part of the show. It's time for the $1,000 Intercom National Cash Contest code word, and the code word this hour is vacation. Text VACATION to 72881. Text vacation to 72881. Used in a sentence, didn't you love that hit, Vacation, by the Go-Go's? Next code word comes up tomorrow morning with Tommy Tucker at 8 o'clock, and we'll have more code words on our show tomorrow afternoon. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. More conversation about Odell Beckham Jr. and the simple battery charge coming up next on Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick. Have a great afternoon. We're back with Free for All Friday on the show tomorrow. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.